Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. And tonight we are going to, continue our discussion about Antarctica. And we're going to bring more information about what the Nazis were doing down there, what the Americans are doing down there now, what world everybody's looking for down there. Obviously, some of it's speculation, but there's a lot of weird stuff. It gets, the more you do research on this, the weirder it actually gets.
Well, there's got to be something going on if you consider how much they're putting into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how many people have been down there to check it out.
When you consider the fact that it is still, an incredibly inhospitable place. Half the year, it's completely dark. It's ridiculously cold. It's right at the bottom of the, it really is at the ends of the earth. Did you know when Antarctica was officially discovered? I mean, just ignore the Perry Reese map and everything that actually had it on there.
Mm-hmm.
It was anywhere from, it's like unofficially, well, to actually have gotten there, 1820, speculation about its existence. But it had not had, been found.
Yeah.
Until, you know, there. In, I think it was like 1814, somebody came within like 70 miles of it. Okay. But still pretty far away. And the first American was one of my relatives.
Oh, yeah?
I almost dropped it. My jaw dropped when I read it. Yeah, it has a Russian guy was the first to see it, but didn't step foot there. The first person to step foot probably was a British guy. And then Captain Nathaniel Palmer from Stonington, Connecticut.
Oh.
They called them sealers. They, you know, went seal hunting.
Yeah.
And, you know, like whalers. They were sealers. And for folks that don't know, the Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts coast area were some of the leading areas of that sort of trade back in the 1700s and 1800s. Anyhow, yeah. And there's Palmer Island down there is named after him.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
You'll have to go down and stomp all around and go back.
No, I'll go on Google Earth. I'll go on Google Earth and say I did. Anyhow, yeah. I mean, that's how recent it was. But then it gets into the what we've had on the on the show before, the Perry Reese map, which I think isn't that in, does Yale University have that currently? I think. Or no, that's a Voynich manuscript. I don't know who has the Perry Reese map. This is a map we know is at least hundreds of years old before much of the New World was ever discovered, let alone Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it accurately depicted Antarctica with no ice on it. And modern map makers today believe that parts of the map, it was kind of sort of accrued with different knowledge at different times and pieced together apparently, dates back maybe 3,000 years as part of like the original, the oldest part of the Perry Reese map.
Yeah.
So how on earth do they know what? Because it's only very recently with technology that we can tell what's under the ice and what kind of topography, even certain things that we thought.
But they weren't
too
far off, David, because what they found under ice were palm trees.
Oh, yeah. No. No, absolutely.
So whoever did it was right.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know about the animals and whatever, but the pictures of a Perry Reese map, they had animals on there, which gets, it sort of dovetails into what Antarctica is or was. See, at least when this map was drawn, it was at the bottom of the world. So that was at the South Pole at that time. However, was it Atlantis? This is what people have come to believe. It is what the Nazis believed.
Yeah.
And one of these obsessions, along with they're the Aryan race, they're going to take over the world, they're the superior people, blah, blah, blah. Their origins come from Tibet more recently, but before that, they thought the Aryan race were the remnants of people who fled the flooding Antarctica, which during the flood not only went under the ocean, apparently zipped down to the bottom of the world due to the climate at the bottom of the world, over time got covered with layers of ice that eventually became this ice cap, which now, of course, is breaking up. So who knows what, you know, maybe that's why with the climate change and everything and these huge ice sheets breaking off, maybe they're always going down there to see what they find under it, or maybe it gives them better access.
Well, I would imagine it would. I mean, if it starts breaking off in big chunks, like it's been doing, then I would imagine that if you're going to be looking for something, like even these objects that they say are three spaceships, like motherships, that they have located down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could very well be. Remember there was one about the guy with the photograph of a pyramid behind him?
Yes.
Well, doesn't that kind of fit in with the area as well? I mean, if there were pyramids down there, how do we know that it wasn't very similar to the way Egypt is today with the pyramids they have?
Right.
Because most of the pyramids that are found are usually found in areas, except for a couple, I guess, that are in Alaska and places like that. But for the most part, they're usually found like in, you know, really warm climate jungles and stuff.
Right.
So if that's true and they find pyramids there, they find palm trees, I mean, I think that kind of takes you back to the time maybe of the early times of the the pyramids in Egypt.
Right.
So yeah, I can see why maybe they're down there checking all this stuff out, you know?
Oh, I think they absolutely are. The amount of time and money that's invested in going down there, I mean, when they talk about natural resources, it's not worth the time and effort to get, so quote-unquote, natural resources off of Antarctica, mm-hmm. when you only have a very limited window of opportunity to go down at any given year, it seems ludicrous to me. However, you know, when the Nazis went down there, they didn't just go with, like, one little submarine and a couple of little planes. Oh, no. No, 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 no.
They went down with a fleet.
Oh, huge fleet. Mm-hmm. Could be up to 60,000 people that they took down there. They flew over and photographed and mapped out all of Antarctica, every so often dropping, I don't know if there were flags or whatever, but like to claim it for Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of odd, but whatever. At that point, there was nobody to dispute it. They also, and we'll get into this, as far as the secret societies that the Nazis had and utilized to sort of further their purposes and to try to seek out advanced technology, get an edge over the rest of humanity. Some of these secret societies and their information apparently was also brought down to Antarctica. So one of the things that people have done now that we have Google and Google Earth, which is, you know, basically a satellite imagery that Google has pieced together, so you have basically the entire Earth mapped. And what they found, Judy, you can get the coordinates. See if I can find them for you. It's real weird. They found what looked like two entrances or exits to massive caves.
Mm-hmm.
done in Antarctica. And it looks like the top of it has like a, it's almost like a clamshell covering. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, and they're like, 100 meters around,
mm-hmm.
and about 30 meters, 30 meters. And then not too far from there is underneath, right underneath the ice, you can see the form of what looks like an oval-type UFO.
Right.
So that's why they kind of wonder if they were the openings to bases for UFOs or, you know, extraterrestrials or whatever.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely something
there.
They
went down there and investigated and went in there and checked it out and whatnot. Who knows what they found?
Well, exactly. And this is where a lot of these stories come from that are only like secondhand, but they continue to leak out, especially these ideas about some of these things that are so big that vehicles of some aerial vehicles can't even get into these things. Who knows how deep they are? But supposedly some of these scientific missions, this is actually factual, that some of these scientific missions in these remote areas of Antarctica that have gone, they're all hush-hush. And, you know, they have to get ferried around by, you know, airplane pilots. And so they're used to bringing these guys to these places and they drop them off. They can't look and they have to leave or whatever. And by the way, there are areas, get this, you know, there are no fly zones over parts of Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why? Not to protect the penguins. There's something, I know there's supposedly something about electromagnetics go really wacky. You know, this, again, could have to do with, say, some sort of UFO base. I really do not know. But, when they're flying across Antarctica, you have to take this circuitous route, which otherwise would make no sense. There's no other air traffic there. But apparently something big is going on down there. And so, you know, I know this was last year where a scientific team came back. Some of the people were so screwed up, they were evacuated to New Zealand, which is one of the two major routes of going to and from there. And most people do go through New Zealand. And the pilot, you know, ended up kind of going online and talking about it because it's like these people look beyond seeing a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
They were, it's like they were just told, you know, the end of the world is coming or something. They couldn't talk. They were just shell-shocked. They had like, what happened to these people? And they're scientists. So who the heck knows? There's a lot of weird stuff. But it does seem as though there's a, and it can be more than one thing that's actually going on down there. But that they have
sounds
found.
Sounds like to me that there's two or three things at least.
Sure. That they
but
have.
They seem to all pertain to aliens.
Correct. Well, actually, we might as well go there. But yeah, so it seems as though it's something like ancient artifacts, mm-hmm. alien bases, whether it's Nazi technology or pre-Nazi technology that they found down there. Yeah, one of the things that really opened the whole door, obviously the nuclear age, apparently. And on the other hand, I guess probably aliens have been here all along and we just didn't know it. But then they sort of had to interface with us because we are starting to make advances. Anyhow, so with the idea of getting an edge, the Nazis not only use their scientists, they also use the occult. There was that Thule, sometimes called Thule Society.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the original occult society in Germany. And it had people from the highest rungs of the Third Reich in it. Okay. From that, supposedly, that morphed into partially or the Vril, V-R-I-L, society spun off from that. They were either related or one came out of it, but the Thule Society continued on. Were both the precursors to the Anunnaki, I guess you'd call it Anunnaki, is the name of this secret society. that the Nazis invested gobs of time and money and research into. And these people were into the occult. They studied, but also science, hard sciences, paranormal, the occult. They were constantly testing everybody and anybody's paranormal abilities to get them involved, with the ultimate goal of being able to use the occult means of contacting interdimensionals, aliens, whatever, higher powers, to get an edge in technology. And it supposedly happened. There were a couple of these people that worked for them, and they happened to be women. And apparently they were exceedingly gifted psychics, and they were able to contact what they believe was an alien race from the star system, what we call Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they started to download really, really technical information. What's really fascinating was, at the time, the Germans had the most advanced scientists on the planet, and what these psychics were bringing them was more advanced than anything they had thought up. And that's where these ideas of disc flying objects, like flying saucers, and using...
They had built that one. Remember, they had built that ring, that cement ring that was...
Yeah, the Nazi bell, yeah.
Yeah, and this thing, they used to tie this thing in there or attach it somehow, and it could levitate.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Fly, but they, you know, at that point, I don't think anybody knew whether or not they had flown the thing anywhere else, but they knew at that point that they could make this thing levitate and they could turn it on.
Correct.
It was totally round. It looked like what we would think of as a flying saucer.
Right. And they used these rotating discs and the use of magnets and magnetism to create these sort of like torsion fields where it negated gravity, so these things could levitate soundlessly, and that's what was reported. And it supposedly also warped the energy field around the UFO. So sometimes they were actually hard, I'll call them UFO, the flying saucers, very, very hard to see. And I don't know if they were able to go, you know, maybe they're in some other dimension at this point. Who knows? But this was a big, big deal and core to the Third Reich. This whole occult thing was really big with the Third Reich. And they had to enlist the services, of course, Wernher von Braun, he's very famous because he came over from the Nazis as a scientist to work for and start NASA. And he was the father of rocket science on the planet.
That came out of Operation Paperclip.
That's right. And so then you also had this inventor who was a world-class inventor. A lot of people that weren't familiar with him. Victor Schauberger.
Mm-hmm.
He is, what a brain he was. Also ended up coming to America. Anyway, he had his... They made use of this implosion theory. This guy over in Germany, he was like apparently the son of a forester. He grew up in the woods, you know, farmers, stuff like that. And, you know, even though, let's see, he was probably born, say, around, I don't know, the late 1800s or something. So the world was pretty primitive when he was born. And he was not from a city. And so it was pretty primitive, and they had difficulty, you know, chopping wood, moving big logs, you know, deep in the forest. And he somehow, through the use of just air and water, he was able to create heat, light, and movement. So he somehow, with the use of water and air, he could create engines and move things. And so he was known for seemingly levitating things, moving large objects, stuff like that. Maybe that's how that guy who made the Coral Castle down in Florida, maybe that's how he did it, used this implosion technique. I don't know. Anyway, so he was co-opted by the Nazis and to be part of this whole secret society and to work on making these alien craft with the help of these psychics. And apparently they made great strides. There were many, many different models that they actually made. There weren't many people up to snuff with the technology, so it was hard to get pilots. You know, all this was first generation. Nobody knew what the stuff was or how it worked. You know, there was nowhere to take a crash course in flying a flying saucer. So apparently progress was pretty slow. But
they were also working on atomic bombs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, oh they absolutely were.
You know, that would be it.
By the way, all this stuff kind of goes without saying, but it should be said, were to be weaponized. These were not for recreational purposes. They weren't for advancing society. They wanted them as super weapons to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's interesting is in 1947 is when Admiral Byrd brought his own fleet. Not that it was his own, but it was the U.S. government fleet led by him.
Yep.
And they had surface ships, they had submarines, they had aircraft, all sorts of things at his disposal. Thousands of people went down. It was for a 6 month, as he said, oddly, a military exercise. Again, what would you be doing there, especially right after the war? You know, at that time, it was not common knowledge that the Nazis had even gone to Argentina, let alone Antarctica. So he went down there, and the reports are that, one, we know for sure it was cut short to only 2 months instead of 6 months, that whatever they discovered, whoever they discovered, there were reports that what we would now call UFOs or flying saucers coming out of the ocean, flying up into the sky faster than anything that we had. They were weaponized, what we'd probably call lasers nowadays, but they had beams, and they were just taking out our aircraft like nothing. They took down a destroyer.
Yep.
You know, men, U.S. military were killed there. This is not like some secret fantasy. This actually happened. You know, and what could have caused that? And then, of course, we had to flee, otherwise we would have been absolutely destroyed. But they saw them, you know, these flying discs. They came out of the ocean. We had nothing that competed. And when he came back to debrief, you know, the U.S. government, is when he said there's a society down there that can fly pole to pole at astounding speeds in, you know, in one journey, you know, no problem. Because at that point, remember, we couldn't fly that far.
No.
You had to be able to refuel somewhere. There was super advanced technology going down that he happened to stumble on. It's really fascinating, you know, to find out about that, because Admiral Byrd was truly an admiral. He was a big, big wig, world famous. And it's just a major story. But again, that sort of all got hushed up. Didn't want people talking about it, because the other thing was that he made it very clear, whoever those people were, the beings or whatever, were far in advance of anything that we had on Earth. As far as the weapons go, as far as the aircraft goes, who knows what else he saw or what he experienced, because, of course, they pretty much, you know, squashed him and kept that under wraps. One thing I also had wanted to say, Judy, was this Anarby, as it's spelled, that secret society out of Russia that was in the occult. The word translates to legacy of ancestors. Okay? So what they were doing, they had this belief system that people were actually more advanced in our history than they were, you know, at the time of the Nazis. So say in the 1920s and 30s. Now that's a very kind of advanced thought, that our ancestors were actually more advanced than we were, because, you know, even when I grew up, I was not alive during the war. So, you know, post-war, you know, we just thought, you know, humans were cavemen. They sort of worked their way up, and then they put on clothes and lost their hair and kind of got advanced a little bit. But it's been like a line, you know, a straight line upward, not according to the Nazis. So, again, they used all these psychics were the idea of accessing ancient information on the earth, finding out where they were, where they could access it, and also use psychics to, you know, in that realm, go ahead and access it. You know, it's really interesting that something that is so crazy, so far-reaching, so massive, you know, as a world war, where they went to the extent of having all those sick concentration camps, cooking people up, you know, on a daily basis or gassing them, just unbelievable insanity. Yet at the same time, we're absolutely obsessed with what was in Antarctica and what our ancient history was and how we could glean advanced technology from our history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never hear anything about that nowadays. So I mentioned before on the show, we know that because we have friends in high places, you know, we know some high-level psychics. Governments use them. They use astrologers. They use psychics. Western governments use them. It's not just Russia. This goes on. And, you know, the Nazis used the occult big time. And, in fact, the U.S. government, of course, with their something to do with snow, I think. I guess it was just Stargate. That Stargate project that they had. They also tested the aptitude of, you know, a lot of people in the military for psychic development and psychic aptitude. And there was that, and I bet they still use them. They use psychics to, for instance, find out what the enemy's up to, find where spies are, where some of our, you know, people that have been taken, where they could be, all those sorts of things. And all that remote viewing went on.
Yeah. Well,
we were told that we should, and it's, they still do it. Mm-hmm. They absolutely still do it. So this is nothing new that, you know, major society.
It doesn't surprise me that they would think of, you know, the way that they were so into researching the, whether it, you want to call it the occult or into ufology or any of that kind of stuff. That doesn't surprise me, because now we're getting into this, and this has just really been updated this last year. And in the last 3 or 4 months, there's this big thing going on there about going in and that they have found motherships.
Right.
And that this will change everything as we in the world know it. It's going to change everything, because we're going to find out. I mean, these ships are, what, 55,000 years old or something?
That's the theory.
Yeah, that's that theory. But, I mean, if they are, and we're, you know, only about 2,000 years old. But anyway, we're actually much older than that. I mean, there's been humanoid beings here for a very long time.
Absolutely.
And many, many, probably many different types of us here. But
mm-hmm.
when you get into studying the UFOs that they say they have found down there and changing everything, the way that we think and our religions and all of that, well, if they found something like that and they found that these beings were these elongated skulled beings that they say they have found, that these beings that were 10 to 12 feet tall, those big motherships were filled with smaller ships, and then they've been taking a lot of artifacts out of there to you know, put aside, and yet they say what they're going to do with that is they're going to replace them when it's time for the people to know, and they will have, you know, like the heads of religions and the heads of, you want to call it one world group there, and different heads of different countries and all of that, and they're going to have them come see it. It will be
mm-hmm.
announced as to what they have found. And if what they have found is something that is alien, And it shows that it has somehow advanced our civilizations, and that this alien being is possibly part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody would be amazed, and I think it kind of goes along with what they had been looking for before, and now it seems, David, that they may have found it.
Hmm.
They may have actually found the, you know, the, I don't know what you want to call it, but they may have the proof that they have never had before. And
mm-hmm.
that's why they're talking about all this. That's why they're all going down there to see this thing. That's why you've got presidents going down there. You've got, you know, all these different heads of states. And I mean, John Kerry went down there. And, you know, even the Pope had a meeting and said, you know, that there's something going on. And
right.
again, people went down to investigate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, you know, that's the part that kind of gets me really interested, is that, you know, here we had the Nazis who believed that this stuff existed. I really think they believed it existed. And I know that they used these psychics to connect with these people. Maybe they didn't have to go into outer space to connect with them. Maybe they could just connect with them down there in, you know, Antarctica.
Right.
But it is kind of eerie that all of a sudden all this stuff has come to the front.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like these are alien craft.
Right.
And if they are and they're that old, that's older than our Bible.
Oh, for sure.
And so our Bible told us about these beings coming down, and of
mm-hmm.
course they were supposed to be angels. And, you know, I don't know. I just think it's very, very interesting, and I think it's going to get a lot more interesting as time goes by. I don't think it's that far from us knowing the truth.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I wanted to say about the Bible was, especially the Old Testament, goes back thousands of years, and it's pretty obvious that just like what people do is they sort of take from others before them, and even something like the story of the flood, the worldwide flood that happened had to be sometime around 10 to 12,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that would have been still 6 to 8,000 years ago before even the oldest parts of the Bible even written about. Okay, so just think of between now and when the pyramids were supposedly built. That's the same time frame between the flood and people writing about the flood. Now, where did they get that information from? I think a lot of it just comes from oral history from other traditions around the world. And the Old Testament, especially the very oldest part of it, is full of references to beings that are not human. They're humanoids, but not humans. And these beings that came down, whether they're angels or titans or these giants and all these other sorts of things. You know, I think that's what it goes back to. I think it was a bleed through or whatever humans still remembered, and they kept it in the consciousness because it was such an important impact on the planet. And so, yeah, I think what you might have been alluding to is this theory that we were either seated here or whatever the indigenous animals were, like apes or whatever, or even some sort of humanoid, and were genetically manipulated by these ancient beings. I know a lot about, I've seen that before, like on the TV show Ancient Aliens, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They give pretty credible interpretations of the Bible where it could actually be indicating genetic manipulation. I mean, when I think of God and creating us, I think of as creating a soul. But the actual physical body, I don't know. You know, that whole bit about mud and the rib and all this other stuff. I don't know. Were they talking about some sort of DNA cloning? Maybe. Who knows what was happening and who knows who did it? It's all entirely possible. And see, I'm of the ilk. I think I know that the governments know way more than they let on. I know the military knows way more than they're letting on. However, will they ever share it? I don't know. I also do know that they use the media in the form of TV, radio, movies, stuff like that, music, to get different concepts out there. Not everything. There are sometimes it's just original work by an artist. But a lot of times information is seeded into a TV show like The X-Files or Stargate. Some of these movies, whatever, they put information in there. Or even the social themes, one that have nothing to do with technology or aliens. But, I mean, even the movie E.T. Phone Home, I think, right? Or, no, Close Encounters, I think it was. They had government people as advisors on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, for a movie? No, because they wanted it accurate and they wanted to get information out there. Because eventually... that's a way of introducing it to people where they're not going to freak out about it. You know, like doing War of the Worlds over the radio without telling people, you know, that we're not really being invaded by Mars. Though I understand they did have that caveat, but a lot of people tuned in late and didn't hear it, and they started to flip out. Yeah, I think that they do know these things. Will they tell us? I still think that's a pipe dream. I think that they don't. They don't want to. But in today's world where everybody has a cell phone and everybody therefore has a audiovisual device that they can record, and we have the internet, so therefore we can say things, you know, people in, you know, New Zealand can immediately say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on with all these flights to Antarctica all of a sudden? We can tell you who's going. You know, people get to piece things together, and something major is going on, something weird is going on. And it does have to do with our past, or somebody's past anyway.
Well, their theory has always been that they would start a panic
right.
if they told the people of the world, you know, what was really going on and what really started everything and all of that, that they would just cause a panic and people wouldn't have enough common sense to, you know, not lose their minds and go off on a rampage. And, you know, in a way I can see it because, I mean, there's just stupid things that can set some people off on ridiculous rampages,
right.
if you want to call it that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I think in one way maybe they are kind of right because look at the fact that there's been so much taught to us, whether you want to call it religion or whatever,
mm-hmm.
over the years. For thousands of years now, we've been taught this and that. And then we're supposed to believe that totally without questioning, that this is how we were created, this is how we were formed, and blah, blah. Can you imagine what would happen with a lot of these people if they found out
right.
that, well, we were a subhuman at one point, but then all of these beings came down and they did some, you know, some changes here and there and genetically modified us. And all of a sudden we became a little bit like them. And it allowed us to move forward. It allowed us to, you know, to advance, to become civilized and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see how in one way it would cause some certain people to go into a panic. And then I think there's a lot of other ones who actually believe that it's probably true anyway.
Right.
So it's a 50-50 shot as to what we're going to do. But, you know, it just seems to me that, like, that's what they're working on as far as this whole thing down there in the Antarctic. I think that they're working on trying to get all the information on this stuff
mm-hmm.
so that they can they can put it out there. They can tell people what they found. They can tell people about these motherships and, you know, go on from there. I mean, we've had a lot of presidents who have seen UFOs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
And supposedly several of them who have met with, you know, aliens.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
But maybe they're not alien at all.
Right.
You know, maybe they're just part of us.
Our better half. Yeah, you know, anything is possible, especially if, you know, these beings have supposedly been using Antarctica as this outpost for
mm-hmm.
for maybe even longer than we've even humans have been around.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you know, the theory is that they created us. That I don't know, but yeah, there's something real weird there with this whole topic. The whole aliens and how ancient it all is. It would be nice, however, to get an accurate timeline about what our history actually is. And then move on from there. But just know, okay, what are we? Were we, like, all these mutations in our DNA, how did they happen? Are there any instances of people having their genes mutate? I don't know. I mean, I never really
think about the fact that why is it we don't use but it's just a small portion of our brain cells?
Right.
I mean, maybe if we had the ability to use all of our brain cells, I mean, maybe we'd be more alien-like. You know, we'd be able to think and do things like create flying saucers. So just go out in the backyard and create whatever, and instead of making little flying planes,
mm-hmm.
we could create something really tremendous and go flying off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I think they're going to come up with something, and they'll probably try to hide it from us. But the more that this stuff gets out, I think that they may be forced to tell the people what they found.
Well, you know, who knows what we found in 1947 and what we used? A lot of people said, now get the year 1947, Roswell. And they think that a lot of our technology came from the crash ship at Roswell and back engineering from that. Maybe it didn't. Maybe more of it came from Antarctica. It was that mm-hmm. same time period. And what's real interesting is as the tide had turned in the war and the Nazis were beginning to lose at long last, they started to, one, vacate Germany and head out to South America and to Antarctica, also to other parts of Europe, incredibly. But anyhow, they also destroyed some of their libraries, especially the secret societies. What they couldn't get out and apparently bring to Antarctica, they destroyed, so it wouldn't get into either Russian or American hands. But one thing that they did find was a blueprint for a cigar-shaped craft 139 meters long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's long. It's longer than a football field by almost half. And it was called Andromeda. And it also had those small discs, flying discs, the small UFOs on them. They had bays on this gigantic cigar-shaped craft. Now, interestingly, the cigars are very common in the, you know, for those who are, I'll say, fortunate enough to see them.
You still there?
Oh, I am. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I was just trying to compose my thoughts about
Oh, I thought I lost you.
No, I'm still here. Sorry about that, folks. Anyway, I think I got abducted by an alien there for a second.
Thoughts.
One of the other things that I was going to say about our friends, the wacky Nazis. Well, you know, I was going to say, I know what it was. Sorry, about how so much of the technology, you know, our governments have never been forthcoming with where they really get their information from. And So remember when that McKinnon guy supposedly broke into NASA and they tried to stitch him up? He was an Asperger guy. So they actually took it easy on him and did not extradite him, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke into the NASA. As he said, he'd never broke in because they didn't use passwords. And they were able to find out that he claims that he found secret off-world air forces, if you will, that they had ships that could go out of our atmosphere into space, and they were, you know, manned, and they had fleets of these things. Interestingly, that's what I think that cigar-shaped thing that they got from the Nazis, that Andromeda, that had the little disks, that would be like the quintessential mothership. Now, whether that was a prototype from something earlier that they found from the real UFOs, I really don't know. It's unbelievably fascinating, but that's one core thing that was going on during World War II. Well, you know, the rest of the world thought we were just fighting for our very survival. At a higher level, both the Nazis, you know, allies and Axis, were fighting for the superiority of the secret and esoteric occult knowledge. One of the things was, we've talked about it before, about him. The Nazis had the sword of Longinus there, the Spear of Destiny, I should say, the one that's pierced Christ's side, on the cross. Whoever held that could rule the world, or at least Europe. And so the Nazis were happy with that one. But they wanted it combined with the Holy Grail, the Grail cup, or what we call the chalice, from the King Arthur legend, because that represented, the sword was the masculine principle, the cup or chalice would be the female principle of wisdom, and married together they would actually rule the world. But in the occult version of what they were pursuing, they needed that. So that was also one of the things that they were looking for and constantly trying to find. And again, using these people, these psychics, in those secret societies to find all this stuff. It's real weird. It's just weird. It just lets you know, just like I say, you know, you hear things leaking out about when we went into Iraq. How much do they, you know, at one level, we're told that all these Muslims and refugees and everybody, we have to welcome them because they're just another culture and everybody's a human and la, 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 la. Well, interestingly, they didn't think Saddam Hussein was very loving. They didn't give a big heart message to him or to Assad or to Muammar Gaddafi and all those people in Egypt that got killed. You know, we're definitely part and parcel of overthrowing these countries. What is the real thing? A lot of us thought it had to do with oil. Maybe they wanted us to think it was oil. A lot of information has crept out that it didn't, that it had to do with all the ancient artifacts that were possessed in places like Libya, Egypt, and Iraq.
Mm.
And supposedly that's one of the things that we went for with the antiquities, supposedly these stargates, these ancient artifacts that can create energy. Pardon me. We know that there was incredibly advanced technology back then, just by the monuments they were able to build. You know, people say, the slaves built the pyramids. There's no indication that slaves ever built the pyramid. It's just a massive, massive, massive undertaking. And when in the 70s, when the Japanese tried to duplicate it using just a scaled down tiny pyramid, they couldn't do it. That's with modern technology. They couldn't do it. It's absolutely amazing. So, you know, a lot of times we think whatever's going on, it's, you know, what do they call it? Wag the dog or subterfuge, red herrings, whatever the metaphor is, you know, there's always something more going on. And, you know, unless you're one of the elites, you were always the last to know. But a lot of the stuff leaks out quickly nowadays. You don't have to wait. You know, how long ago was World War II now? 75 years, you know, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy how, when I think about how, you know, I was born in 1959, so it wasn't all that long before my birth. And yet when I was born, because I was born after it, when people would talk about it, it's like, that's ancient history. Who cares? The war's over. Why do people go on about World War II? Well,
Yeah. They
still do, and it was more than just fighting for our freedom. There's other, as it turns out, there are always these secrets and all these different levels of things going on. And clearly that goes on today with geopolitics. I have no idea what there is about the Middle East, but just like the Antarctica, it's got to be worth a lot, because governments have taken a lot of resources and human life to try to get it and gain control over it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is, it's very powerful. At least they believe it's very powerful. I also wanted to throw out there, you know, sometimes because you read these articles, hear these different podcasts, people talk about these things, and they're talking about the Antarctica, right?
Mm-hmm.
I usually call it Antarctica, and then people say, you know, the Antarctic. I'm thinking, yeah, that's a word, right? That's what we call it, the Antarctic. But is it the same thing? Drum roll, it isn't actually the same thing at all. Antarctica is part of the Antarctic. The Antarctic is the entire polar region. Yeah, that's the entire thing, including the water. So if you drew you know where the Arctic Circle is? There's an Arctic Circle that defines the South Pole.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the landmass, but it's the water around it and the islands around it. That's the entire Antarctic.
Mm-hmm.
Antarctica is just the landmass with, of course, all that ice on top of it.
And
where the Nazis have bases to this day.
And all the little spaceships under there. Sooner or later, I think the more things start to melt, they're going to see a lot more things popping out of that ice.
You know what's interesting? One of my all-time favorite shows was Stargate.
Mm.
And it's on Endless Rerun, so watch it if you can. I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. One of the pinnacle stories had to do with, well, one, obviously they had Stargate, so they weren't just using aircraft, which they had, you know, spacecraft, but they would go through these Stargates, so they could go back and forward in time, but traverse great distances in a second. One of the Stargates, guess where it was?
Down there.
Antarctica. In a cave in Antarctica. And so the two people, Jack and Samantha Carter. Oh, yeah. Major Carter. She was great. She was absolutely great. So the two leads, they end up down there. They have no idea. They don't think they're on Earth at all. They're like, oh, God, we're in this ice cave. And one of the guys, Jack, who was the leader, was severely injured, and they thought he was going to die. So he's like, you got to go for help. Whatever you can find, get out of here. So she climbs up through the cave and finally, virtually dead herself, gets to the surface. And she's like, oh, no, it's an ice world. The whole thing is ice. Anyway, it turns out she was in Antarctica.
Yeah, I'll see.
Which only goes
maybe
to show you.
That's what the aliens thought when they got stuck under the ice there.
Right, when they went through the Stargate. But could it be that the government already knew that? And that's why they seeded it into that show, because that was one of the shows, like X-Files, that had government people who were helping advisors, giving them ideas for the show and ideas to introduce to people. And so that was one of them, actually. They did focus on Antarctica. Luckily for them, of course, back in their ground base, which is in a mountain, of course, inside a mountain in Colorado, they were tracking them, and they found out they hadn't gone anywhere, but they were still on Earth, and they were able to actually rescue them. But it was a absolutely fascinating few episodes. The whole thing about Antarctica, there was a Stargate under there. You know, when I think about it, you know, that's what we're talking about. Stargates from the Middle East, advanced technology, they had it. Maybe it was all Atlantis. And, of course, in Stargate, they used to talk about what were the two cultures they would talk about. Atlantis, which was a spin-off show of Stargate, was called Atlantis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was Egypt, that the pyramids were actually spaceships. Eventually, they took off, and that they were the gods like Ra and Seth and Osiris, etc., Isis. They were all those weren't gods. They were aliens who had superior technology.
Yeah, well,
all of those ideas were seeded into us through Stargate. So, you know what? Oddly, 90s, 20 years on. I don't know. It seems as though we're finding evidence that that was probably pretty accurate.
I guess we'll find out. One way or another.
Yeah,
and you know, the interesting thing is that there seems to be a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more being leaked out at a time.
Correct.
It's not like it's a big baboon story and whatever. Now it's little bits at a time. So you get these short little stories about stuff that they're finding down there.
Right.
And
a lot of times it's hard to figure, but a lot of these people that are high up in the alternative racket, as I like to call it, do have informants. A lot of times, you know, like we know that we're monitored. We know that right here at the Unknown Zone on Blog Talk Radio, we are monitored by the Secret Services. We know that. If they like you or they think you'd be a good vehicle for them to disseminate information, sometimes people are contacted. Sometimes they put out false information too. But that is what happens. A lot of these people have contacts, or people that just want the world to know will leak information to people. It's real fascinating. It's just what gets me is what used to be sci-fi turns out to be real. And actually what turns out, what we think is real at the time is all BS.
well,
think about it.
Pathetic.
We are the only planet on, remember, we're the only place that has sentient life.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why would you even think that? Why would you declare that is true, you know? And that's the way we are. Here we are, the little, you know, paper bags on our heads. So there's nothing else out there. And, you know, the world, we're born, whatever lot you have in life, you only live once. All those stupid little sayings, no, you don't. You live forever. We all live forever. So why are we living like we are? Because that other theory and belief system allows a few people to gain control over us.
Yeah.
That's what that's all about. It's all about power and control.
I know,
but I do think there's plenty of information to indicate there's some amazing technology out there. I think that we've got it. I think that the Germans had it, and who knows?
Well, let's face it, if they can get into these big motherships, you're going to know a lot more alien technology.
Wouldn't it be the hoot of hoots? The hoot of hoots, you know, the craziest of crazies, if Adolf Hitler was still alive flying around in a mothership.
They get down there and there he is sitting there. Huh. You know,
because, yeah, because they had that sarcophagus thing in Stargate where they could regenerate themselves and they lived on and on and on that way. Nothing would surprise me.
Well, we shall see, and I don't think it's going to be that far. I think they're going to come up with more and more stuff. They have to explain why they're having all these people going down there, so whatever. But we'll come up with something cool for next week.
We will. Thanks so much.
We hope to. See you later. Bye.
Thanks. See ya. And for Judith Zellens, I'm Dane Turco. Thanks for joining us with the Unknown Zone, and see us again next week for another episode of the Unusual.